These days knows very well that there's nothing new in the news. That every day when you read the news, you listen to the news, you're hearing things that you could have predicted exactly what you're going to hear or what you're going to read. We know exactly whether or not Congress is going to impeach the president. We know exactly who's going to vote for impeachment, who's going to vote against impeachment, whether or not the president is going to be convicted in the Senate, who's going to vote for conviction, who's going to vote against conviction. There's nothing new here, and really, the pasuk says so. Ein kol chadash tachat hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. However, there is a place where there is something new, and the place where there's always something new is in the Beis Medrash, the world of learning Torah. And the Gemara says as much. Ein Beis Medrash shelo chiddush. There's no such thing as a Beis Medrash without a chiddush, without something new. When I would call home from yeshiva, and I'd speak to my father, Zichrono Livracha, and he would ask me what's new. And I would say nothing much. He would say, how's that possible? Ein Beis Medrash shelo chiddush. There's always something new in the Beis Medrash. There's always something new in the world of Torah. And those of us who are privileged to learn Torah and have regular exposure to Limud HaTorah know that this is true, that Torah invigorates us. And Torah gives us always something new to talk about and something new to think about. And it's certainly true for the Lomdei Daf Hayomi, that those people who learn the Daf every day they're learning something new. And it is that learning that is going to be celebrated at the Siyum HaShas that we'll have here in Chicago. And it's a Siyum for those certainly who are finishing Shas, but it's also a celebration for Limud HaTorah in general, all the learning that we do, and it's an opportunity for us to inspire ourselves, to ask ourselves, are we doing enough learning? Do you spend enough time? Is there something more that we can do? Is there, if it's Daf Yomi, then let me join Daf Yomi. If it's not Daf Yomi, is there a chavrus that I should have? Is there a shir that I should be going to? There's so many opportunities to hear and to learn Torah, whether it's here in the shul or outside of the shul. And we should be taking advantage of that. And this is an unbelievable and wonderful opportunity to join in a Kiddush Hashem of a celebration of Limud HaTorah, and also to be inspired to continue our learning and to reinvigorate our own Limud HaTorah. In other events, though, we had a terrible tragedy in Jersey City just last week, where six people, two terrible murderers, but four innocent people were killed as a result of a rampage perpetrated by two anti-Semites who wanted to kill Jews. And this is a tragedy, certainly for the victims, for those two from Yid Nevuch who were killed, and for their families, who were an innocent immigrant from Ecuador who worked in the restaurant where the killings took place, a brave police officer, a police detective who was killed. But it's much more than that. We need to realize that it's also a very frightening event because it was an attack on Jews because they were Jews. And while this is not the first attack on Jews because we're Jews, but it wasn't a shul and it wasn't in a Torah institution. It was simply a store, a kosher store frequented by Jews. Although we're told that the target may have been the cheder next door as well, with their 50 young children who, Baruch Hashem, were untouched. And if we think about the reality that Jews find themselves in the world, here we are, 70 plus years after the Holocaust, in the 21st century, we see events like this, and we see that Jews are targets. And we're targets everywhere. We're targets in the Middle East, of course. We're targets in Eretz Israel, where there's Hezbollah on one side, and Hamas on the other side, and Iran setting its sights on Israel and wanting to do horrific things. And there's terrorism in Europe. And we used to say, well, if a kosher supermarket to be attacked in Europe, then that's Europe. It's not a place for Jews to live. But here in America, and now we've had here in America where a kosher supermarket was attacked. So we have to ask ourselves, where are we? And where do we belong? And why is it that everybody wants to kill us? And what does this mean to us? And how are we supposed to respond to this reality that Jews are targets? Doesn't mean every single Jew is a target. Doesn't mean that every single guy wants to kill every single Jew. But there is this concept of halachi bidua, that it's a fact, it's axiomatic, that Esav hates Yaakov, and this hatred for Jews in the world, this anti-Semitism wherever we go, including right here in America. Where are we supposed to go with that? And what are we supposed to do with that reality? And I'm not here to address the actual on-the-ground security issues and what our security response should be. That's a completely different conversation. But hashkafically, how are we supposed to understand all of this? We find in this week's parasha, the parasha says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, and Yaakov remained alone. Vayavik Ishimo, and a man, as we know the Malach of Esav, Yavik Ishimo, Adalos Hashachar, wrestled with him, struggled with Yaakov the entire night. Yaakov is the Av, who is the semel, a symbol of Golos, of the long dark years that we as a Jewish people have to spend in Golos, in exile, until Mashiach comes. And there it says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remained alone. What does alone mean? And what is the meaning? It's very significant, this idea that he's there alone. So the Gemara, Chazal, the Medrash actually, tells us something amazing. The Medrash tells us this word Levado, that Yaakov remained alone, is not just a detail in the story, but it is something that describes who Yaakov is and what kind of special human being he is, because we find the word Levado in association with Yaakov. We find the word Levado in association with Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Nizkar Hashem Levado. And Hashem is exalted alone. So Hashem is Levado, Hashem is alone, and Yaakov is Levado, Yaakov is alone. What is the significance of this idea of being alone? Rav Volba understands Levado to mean alone, that you are a real person, meaning alone, that someone is not dependent on others to be who we are. That we do mitzvot, we're not doing them because we're following the crowd. We're not doing them because everybody else is doing it. We're not doing them in a way where if we lose the crowd that's doing it, we would act differently. Or if Chaz Hashem, we find ourselves in a different crowd, if we find ourselves in a different crowd that acts contrary to what we're supposed to be doing, that we would Chaz Hashem act differently. Because we are who we are, we know who we are, because we are a people that are Levado. But there's something else about that idea of Levado that the Nitziv speaks about. The Nitziv, perhaps, is the only one that we find, that I'm aware of Gedol Yisrael, who gives the idea of anti-Semitism an extensive treatment. And the Nitziv says that Ve'ivaster Yaakov Levado, Yaakov is alone. We find this idea of Levado as describing Klai Yisrael, not only there, but describing Klai Yisrael when Bilam refers to Klai Yisrael as Hin Am Levadad Yishkon, they're a nation that dwells alone. A nation that dwells alone. What does that mean, a nation that dwells alone? We are a nation that are alone. We are apart from the world. We are different. We're different from everybody. And it just says that Klai Yisrael is different in the following sense, that usually if a person moves into a foreign country and he wants to be happy in that foreign country, he wants to be happy amongst foreigners, he wants to be happy in that new place, in his new home, the best way for him to do that is to acclimate, to become like everybody else, to assimilate and adapt and adapt, and he can adopt the ways of the people around him so that he doesn't stand out, so that he's different, so that he blends in. And that's the best way for him to find happiness, and it's the best way for him to find security. But Klai Yisrael is different. Klai Yisrael are Hinan Levadad Yishkon, a nation that dwells alone. And as a nation that dwells alone, the way that they will find security is by remaining different. The way that they will remain who they are, the way that they will survive is by recognizing that they are the other, that they think differently, that we have to know that our hashkaf is different, our hashkaf as a chayim is different, the way we live our life is different. The way we view issues and the way we decide what's right and wrong is different because our sensitivities and our determination and our decision as to what is right and what is wrong has to come from the Torah and has to come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the whole world says one way, we have to be ready to say another way. We have to be like Avraham Avinu, who was on one side of the river when everyone else was on the other side, to march against traffic and to be different than everybody else, to live up to that quality of Levado, to live up to the quality of Hin Am Levadad Yishkon, that we will Yishkon, we will find rest, we will find peace, at least peace with ourselves, and peace with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if we recognize that we have to be different and we have to be ready to be different. And so does he find, for example, that Yaakov said when he sent his message to Esav, he says the following words, he said, make sure that Esav knows them, Lavan Garti. I live with Lavan, but in Hebrew, we have different words for different kinds of living. And it says, Lavan Garti does not say Lavan Yashavti, that I settled, that I lived in a permanent sense with Lavan. But Lavan guarantee I lived as a ger with Lavan. As a ger, a ger means a stranger. I always felt myself to be a wanderer. I always felt myself to be a stranger, even though I was there for 20 years. But I knew that this is not my home. I knew that I did not belong. Personally, I always find that this time of the year is really a very, very special time of the year. We go out into the streets and we see decorations everywhere. We see color lights everywhere. And we go to the malls and we see all kinds of beautiful decorations again. And we see and hear music. And sometimes that music gets into our heads and we find ourselves humming that music even when we come out of the mall. But as soon as we realize we're humming it, we stop. Because we know and we realize that all of these decorations, all of that music and all of the jingles and all of the commercials and everything that we see around us is a wonderful and incredible reminder that we don't really belong here. It is not our home. That this is in love and garti. That we are the other, and therefore it should reinforce within us the ability to recognize our uniqueness and to make sure that we maintain that uniqueness and to make sure that we always remember where our thinking comes from and where our attitudes towards life and towards life's issues have to come from. Nevertheless, sometimes we could despair. We could say, well, when is this all going to end? It does not seem like it's ending. It seems like it's getting worse. We could and certainly should hope that all of this is a sign of what Chazal tell us. I shouldn't say Chazal, but all of the Gdol Yisrael have told us in recent decades that we are living in Ikvus of the Mashiach in the period leading up to the coming of Mashiach. And so if we feel like the world is closing in on us, maybe that's something that we have to feel before Mashiach comes, to feel different and to feel like we don't belong. And even if you don't see the Yeshua coming, even if you don't see anything happening that should indicate to us that Mashiach is around the corner, even if it seems impossible, how is it supposed to happen? We find a beautiful Medrash. Medrash is actually at the end of next week's parasha. The Medrash says, the Medrash details, the history of Klal Yisrael from the very beginning, and shows us that over and over and over again, the history of Klal Yisrael and the continued existence of Klal Yisrael was always an impossibility. Medrash says, Mi hayim echakel la'avram, who would have anticipated Avram and Sarah, two old people, Shayzikinim, they were elderly, Shivala, and Bezit would have a child. The beginning of Klal Yisrael is with Avram and Yitzchak, with Avram and Sarah, the birth of Yitzchak. Who would have dreamt that Yitzchak would be born to these old people? But the marriage continues. Mi mechakel Yaakov, who would have ever anticipated a marriage? Now Yaakov, she'avav emako hayaden, across the Yarden, only with his walking stick, she'yifod v'yashir, that he would develop into a large family, and he'd become wealthy and become prominent. Mi hayim mechakel Yosef, who would have imagined that Yosef, she'avav kol ha'torah t'elu, had all of the Torah described in the parsha is describing what happened to Yosef, she'emelech, that he would turn into a king. Moshe would have imagined that Moshe, Shehishlach Liyor, was cast into the Yor, cast into the river. Shehiyah Moshe Niyah, that what would happen to him would in fact happen, that he would be the savior of Klal Yisrael, the leader of Klal Yisrael, the one who received the Torah at Har Sinai. When you would have seen, if you would have watched that baby Moshe in that little flimsy basket being placed into the river, would you have imagined that this baby would in fact survive and grew up to be somebody truly great? Mimichak al-Rus, who would have imagined that Rus was a convert, would become the one, the progenitor of Mashiach, of David HaMelech HaMashiach. And the Medrash describes others as well, including the story of Purim, the story of Haman. And finally says, Mimichak al-Golios, who would have imagined that the Golios clients would experience four exiles. And each one should have spelled the end of Klal Yisrael. That each one instead would be that Klal Yisrael would grow and become something special, not despite each one of those experiences or because of them. Each golus that we experienced should have been the end of the story, and yet we survived it and we grew from it and we went on to the next stage in our history. And finally, who can see that the destroyed base of Migdash would in fact be rebuilt the way the Pasuk says. So all of our history has been impossible. Everything that we've experienced really should not have happened. But we're here to tell the story. And there's one more piece, one more chapter that still has to unfold. That seems so impossible, the coming of Mashiach. But just like everything else, every other impossible stage in Klal Yisrael nevertheless became possible because we are Klal Yisrael, we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, and He's watching over us. So too, that last chapter, that last stage, will happen as well. We should be zocha to see soon, the Yeshua, the final salvation of Klal Yisrael, the fulfillment of the pasuk that we read in the Haftorah. The Olam Hashem, Har Tzion, Lishbet, is Har Eitzah, Leitzah, Lashem, Tamalukah.